Drop up with great skill from him to wing the Mo Salah. Raheem Sterling, what a finish. What pure class from the Englishman.
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hello and welcome back to Premier Talk Podcast. I'm one of your two hosts, Andrew Mello. Alongside with me, as always, is Daniel Barbuto. This is episode 4 of season 2. It's called Europa League Madness. We got a lot to talk about. A lot happened in Europe over the past week. Daniel, let's get right into it.
Let's get right into it. We're going to start you guys off with the starting lineup. We only got two things to discuss today, really. Our first one is the match day 25 recap.
And then we got the Europa League recap, Daniel. We got the Europa League recap and look ahead. Man, it was a devastating week for me, but we're going to unpack it in this episode. We're going to talk about it.
Well, let's get started with match day 25 recap. We got one game on Friday, February 19th. We got Wolves versus Leeds. This one ended 1-0 for Wolves. It was awful luck right here. An own goal from the Leeds keeper, Alan Meslier, in the 64th minute after a wonderful strike from Adama Traore. And that was the only goal in this game. It was a needed win from the Wolves side. Against the Leeds team, which we know is a difficult opponent, and well done on Wolves getting the 3 points.
Yeah, it was a crazy strike from Adama, 30 yards out more or less. He beat several defenders, and then he got the shot off. It was a crazy strike, smashed it right off the crossbar, and Massilia went down, and he just happened to bounce off his back. It was super unlucky, but a good 3 points for an even balanced two teams here.
Mm-hmm. We're going to move on to Saturday. Saturday, there was four games on Saturday, February 20th. The first one, Southampton versus Chelsea. It was a pretty good game. Minamino scored in the 33rd minute, and then Mason Mount scored from the penalty spot in the 54th. And one thing that was like going on all over the internet was Hudson-Odoi. He came on in halftime, and then 31 minutes later, he was yanked. Andrew, I know this is your team. How do you feel about this one?
Yeah, I watched the interview after with Tuchel, and it was so interesting to hear what he had to say. He came out and said that his team deserved the win, and which I agree, and not saying that just because I like Chelsea and I have a preference for the club. He came out and said that they controlled the game, they control possession, they had more opportunities, which was all true. It just so happened to be they slipped up for one moment, and what he said was, this is football, these type of things happen. Mm-hmm. And it was a lovely solo goal from Minamino, the new loan signing. He settled in quite well for Southampton so far. Last time out, not so well. But this game, he was quite good. And in that particular moment, he got the best of the Chelsea defense. And then Tuchel came out to... People were criticizing Tuchel because they said he was too hard on Odoi, saying that he didn't have the legs for this game. He didn't have the it factor for this game almost. I'm just paraphrasing here. But people were questioning that whether or not he may have... hurt the young player's confidence, but you could tell that he wants things a certain way. He's very tactical in the terms of the way he approaches games, he's going to be hard on his players, but you could tell he really wants to win, and he's bringing forth this winning mentality. He's trying to change the culture there for sure.
Being honest, I don't mind this from a manager. If you bring on a player and you don't like the way he's playing, I'm okay with taking him off. I know, like you said, it's a young player, it might hurt the confidence a little bit, but as a manager, you got to go up to that player. You got to talk to him after, you got to explain to him why he was taken off. And I think Tuchel, even after that interview, he did a good job of explaining why. And I don't mind it, to be completely honest with you. I think it's great. And he has a great winning mentality, and that should be good for the Chelsea side.
Yeah. And Barbuto, like before, when Frank Lampard was there, Odoi never got the opportunity to even get consistent minutes. They were questioning whether or not he was going to leave to Bayern Munich. A lot of people were saying he needs more minutes and maybe he needs to change his scenery. And Tuchel's the guy that's been giving him that opportunity. He's been playing almost game in, game out at that wingback position. So he's given him responsibility of having to track back, but he's also giving him the freedom to go forward and create opportunities because he's a super skillful player. And I think Tuchel is the right manager for him. He sees the potential in him for sure. So
we're going on to the next one here. Is no goals in this one from Burnley and West Brom. Game ended 0-0.
Super boring game.
West Brom held on. The only really, really point to this game was that West Brom held on after Ajayi got a straight red in the 30th minute. Mm-hmm. It was a bad challenge. It deserved a straight red. They got it. And cheers to West Brom for holding on 0-0. At least get the 1 point when you're down to 10 men.
Yeah. Good result for West Brom in terms of them having, their red card situation early on. Burnley would have liked to get the 3 points against a lower tier side in West Brom. So it's a point for West Brom. It's not 3 points. You know, we always mention West Brom in terms of that relegation battle. It just, I don't think, like we mentioned this time and time again, Dan, I know we're just repeating ourselves here, but we don't, like, I don't agree that they have the quality for this league. Mm-hmm. And even like, it just unlucky with the red card, whatever, but good, I guess a good point in this scenario for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think the point was good enough. Nothing really else much to say in that game. We move on to probably the biggest game of the weekend, I think, which was the Merseyside Derby, Liverpool versus Everton. This one ended, which I think was surprising for most, but at the same time could be a little bit not surprising. Everton took this one 2-0. Richarlison scored in the third minute, which was good to see. And then the only other goal in this game was a penalty. Gylfi Sigurdsson, he converted his penalty in the 83rd. You got a big gap. You got the third minute and the 83rd minute. And this loss for Liverpool was Liverpool's third consecutive loss. And what hurt them even more was Henderson in the 30th minute. He had to be taken off because he got a groin injury since he's had surgery. And they said he'll be out around 6 to 8 weeks, which is not a good look for Liverpool, especially in losing three games in a row. It's just not looking good right now, especially with all these injuries.
Yeah, another stat for that game, Daniel, too. This is the first time since 1999 that Everton has been able to win a game away at Anfield. And the scenes in the locker room after the game was incredible to see. They were ecstatic, the Everton players. And they really deserve this because they were the dominant team from the start. And you could see time and time again, this Liverpool, the biggest problem with this Liverpool club is their back line. You know, the fullbacks are there. They have two really super talented fullbacks, but that pairing in the middle has struggled so much. They've been struggling to find a solution to the injury bug. Another player goes down, like you mentioned, in Henderson. Mm-hmm. But that first goal, to allow a goal like that, it just shows you that the inexperience is there and the chemistry is lacking there from the two center backs. Mm-hmm. It was Richarlison was offside at one point. He comes back and meets with the last defender, but the last defender doesn't even check him coming back on. It doesn't go to guard him. Mm-hmm. And he's just so clever. It's a classic goal poacher type of goal. And he just waits for the right moment. He has his space in between the two center backs. And then he just waits for that little sliding pass through in between the center halves. And he buried it quite nicely. And Alisson has no chance. He's pretty much in alone on goal. And it just shows you Liverpool's struggles. Not in terms of, it was offensively this game, but in the grand scheme of things, it's that center back partnership. And it's a super tough year for Liverpool fans because they're missing, obviously, one of the world's best in Van Dijk, and then an up-and-coming British star with Joe Gomez. And that pairing, you can't compare it to what they have
you
now.
Mm-hmm.
Kabak has not looked impressive at all since he's joined. I don't blame him considering the situation, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it goes back to that center back partnership, and it doesn't look good for them.
Just another stat for you guys. This is the first time Liverpool has lost three consecutive home games since 1963. Which has been 60 years since they've lost three consecutive home games in the league. Not looking good for Liverpool. I want to ask you, do you think, I know they've had their injuries in the back line, but over the past couple of years, they've been outscoring teams too. And it seems that this year, their front line hasn't put enough goals in the back of the net. I don't know if it's just because they're winning or losing by like a goal margin or two goal margin, but do you think it's the attack or the defense? I guess that's what I'm trying to get at.
Daniel, I think it's two things. I think it's a lack of confidence and I think it's a lack of momentum. When teams are playing really well, and that's in terms of like your whole team being organized, like it starts at the back down. We all know this, like defense is key to winning games. And
mm-hmm.
I think when you have a strong foundation, you're able to build upon that foundation. And that goes with many sports, but soccer in particular, you really need a good back line. And that translates to, you know, possession. It translates to the ability to move balls forward to the flanks and then up to your strikers. And I think it's also a lot, like I mentioned, lack of momentum. When a team is, you know, firing in all cylinders, like similar to what Manchester City is, it's so hard to stop them. And mm-hmm. I think with Liverpool last year, even though there's that break and that pause with COVID, when the leagues were stopped, Liverpool had so much momentum. They were playing so well, like nothing was going bad for them. And I think this year they've hit a bump, and then they haven't been really able to recover from that bump. The bump obviously being the injuries. But when you're playing well, when your team's, you know, organized and playing all together, then you're not going to see too many problems. But right now, this team seems a little disoriented and lacking confidence in many cases.
We're going to move on to the last game on Saturday, February 20th here. We got Fulham versus Sheffield. Got 18th versus 20th. I don't think a lot of people were expecting much in this game.
Yeah.
Adamola Lookman scored the only goal in this one in the 61st minute. That was the only goal. Again, nobody really expected much. It's basically the only stat line you can pull from this game.
Yeah, he belongs to Everton still. He's on loan to Fulham. He's been loaned out to multiple clubs. He was at Leipzig, had a stint there as well. Didn't do particularly well. But Dan, every time we mention Fulham, I seem to be mentioning Lookman. He's definitely got some potential to him. He's one of the more exciting players on Fulham. And if I was someone working at that club, I'd try to sign him on a permanent deal, because I think at Everton he doesn't have that opportunity with all the, you know, they got loads of talent there now. Mm-hmm. I think he could have some success if he continues to stay with this club and to, you know, continues to keep developing, because he's gonna get key minutes with this Fulham side for sure.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully for him that they don't get relegated, because then he'll be playing in the English too, which, I mean, your value does decrease a little bit, but again, you'll be playing lots of quality minutes for this Fulham side. We're going to move on to Sunday, February 21st. There was another four games in this on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The first game, West Ham versus Tottenham. West Ham won this one 2-1. Andrew, you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, this was a London derby here. Anytime it's a derby of any sort, you know, the stakes are high. And the stakes were really high for Tottenham and Spurs fans. And on this day, Antonio comes out, scores early on in the game. Mm-hmm. I believe it was the fifth minute, Daniel. And then later on, Jesse Lingard in the 47th scores to put them up 2-0. So right there, that's just them taking control of the game, taking hold of the game. West Ham been super impressive this year. You know, hats off to the coaching staff there with David Moyes, former Manchester United man, Daniel. Mm-hmm. And then Tottenham nearly, you know, they had the chance, the Lucas Moura chance and goal. It was actually a well-worked corner set piece, whatever you want to call it. And the tiniest man on the pitch manages to get the header off. And it was a lovely header. But again, Daniel, we always talk about this Tottenham team. And we're going to talk about them later on in Europa League. It's like two different teams playing. I know they played a significantly inferior opponent in Europa League, but... Mm-hmm. They're a completely...
There's no translation. I don't understand.
That's exactly it, Daniel. There's no translation. In the Europa League, they're one team. In the Premier League, they're another. People were hyping up the squad because they're in first place. Now I think they're in eighth, we mentioned. They're still around that eighth spot there. But it's just terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible if you're a Spurs fan. You thought things were going to go up from where they've been in the past. You thought they could contend this year, especially with Manchester City being out of the count for so long. But look at them again. West Ham playing good. Tottenham not so much. I want to hear what you think about this situation here with the Spurs.
I don't think it's great. I know last week we discussed at the end from our fan questions. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked, when do you think Mourinho's going to get sacked? I think it's going to be soon, to be completely honest with you. I know West Ham is a great opponent. They've been playing well lately. And Tottenham, you know, it might be lack of confidence and I see a lack of confidence, but then I go and I watch them in Europa League and it's a completely different team. I don't know what's happening right now, but they need a change somewhere. If that's big transfer, which transfer window's done, so that can't happen. So the next thing you look at is coaching staff. I think they need a change. I think that it started off Mourinho, that the way that he plays is defensive with a counterattacking like style. I think when Kane got injured, that fell off big time because their main attacker was injured. And I don't even think he's at 100% yet, to be completely honest with you. He hasn't been great since coming back from injury, which I think is a big blow for Tottenham. But I think it's coaching staff. I think they got to get rid of Mourinho. I said it last weekend. I give him another two games, to be honest with you.
Daniel, I'm going to have to disagree with you here because Mourinho comes into the situation, he brings in certain players, but he didn't get to bring in all the players he wanted. And we still look, I'm going to mention that back line, Daniel. That's where they're most vulnerable because their attack is phenomenal, because they have obviously one of the Premier League's best in Harry Kane and another Premier League, he's super talented in Heung-Min Son. Like you can't beat that attack, right? Mm-hmm. There's only a number of teams that can, match their attack, but their center back partnership is absolutely terrible. Alderweireld, he's good, And then you pair him with when Alderweireld's out or he's not healthy, and you know there's the Premier League's a lengthy season. You need depth. They have Davinson Sanchez. He was amazing when he first came in from Ajax, but he's been super vulnerable. And just like him, Eric Dier is the same situation. He's a CDM brought to play center back, and he's been poor. Numerous fouls that he's committed don't need to be made. And their defense, their back line, like Liverpool, is so fragile. That's the best way to describe it. Because fullbacks too, they're whatever, they're inconsistent at times. Reguilon, I thought he'd be much better because he had a super season at Sevilla last year when they won the Europa League. It's just, Daniel, consistency is so key in this league, and they were so consistent in that one period of time when they looked like they couldn't be beaten, they're in first place. But since then, they lost and they haven't been able to find that form again, and it's very troubling if you're a Spurs fan.
Just one more thing I want to put out there. I think that if this was, like, we looked at Chelsea earlier in the year when they got rid of Lampard and they brought in Tuchel. I don't think a lot of people expected that Lampard firing or sacking, because he was great last year with youngsters and, like, literally just everything that was given to him. And then when he had and he got a couple signings, he has been great. And you said it too, that Chelsea, they're the way that their management, like, they don't really care. If you're not playing well, you're gone. I think if this was the case, if Mourinho was, if they had Chelsea's management with Mourinho, Mourinho would have been gone already. I don't even think it's anywhere close, considering they were in first place with looking fantastic, and now they've dropped all the way back into middle of the table, and they don't, right now, they don't have any hope to climb up the table. I can't see it happening.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there, Daniel. Daniel, do you want to segue to the next match here?
Next match on Sunday, February 21st, we got Aston Villa versus Leicester City. This was a good one, actually. James Maddison scored in the 19th minute, and Harvey Barnes scored 4 minutes later in the 23rd, and this put Leicester up 2-0. You know, now nice comfortable lead, but a two-goal lead isn't always great. Bertrand Traoré came down in the second half for Villa, and he scored in the 48th minute, but those two goals in the first half were too much for Villa to handle, and Leicester ended up taking the 3 points here.
Yeah, tough loss for Villa. They were in the match the whole way through. Leicester just were superior, and they got the better of Villa. Great 3 points for Leicester to continue to solidify their top four finish. These are matches that are hard to win in the Premier League against teams like Villa. So a hugely important 3 points, because a lot of teams like to underestimate Villa. And, you know, as we know, Villa had a great campaign last year, so you can never underestimate them. And Leicester did what they had to do on this day.
We're going to move on to the next one here. We got Arsenal versus Manchester City. Another good one here. Raheem Sterling scored the only one in this one in the second minute. It was a quick goal right off the bat. And I think this is an expected outcome for City. I know there was a stat that every single time Pep Guardiola has gone on a long streak with teams that he's been with, no matter if it's been Barcelona or Bayern Munich and now Manchester City, all both of his long winning streaks were came to an end in the hands of Arsenal. So there was lots of conspiracies and not conspiracies. There was lots of guessing and betting in this one that Arsenal was going to be again the team to knock Pep off of his winning streak, but wasn't the case.
Yeah, great win for Manchester City to continue that unbeaten streak. Tough loss from an Arsenal fan perspective, because they only lost 1-0. At least they didn't get smacked in this one. But I don't know. I think, though, I'm going to talk about a little bit later in the Europa League segment. I have my opinions on Arsenal, but... yeah, Manchester City was the better team, and they deserved the 3 points in this one.
We'll move to the last game on Sunday, February 21st. We got my team, Manchester United versus Newcastle. This one ended Manchester United 3, Newcastle 1. It was a really good game. It was back and forth in the first half. Rashford scored in the 30th minute, continuing his great form of the year. He's been absolutely amazing this year. And then Saint-Maximin scored a great volley, a nice little half volley to tie the game 6 minutes later. And then... in the second half, Daniel James scored a nice goal in the 57th, assisted by Bruno. And then Bruno Fernandes got his own from the penalty spot in the 75th. Andrew, I want to pull one thing out of this game. How important is Bruno Fernandes for this Manchester United side? I think he is absolutely, like, this for me could go down as one of the greatest signings, considering price, how well he's done for this team and where he's bringing them. How do you feel about it?
Daniel, I'm excited because he's Portuguese, and at the end of the day, if he could, you know, do what he's doing for Manchester United for the national side, I'll be ecstatic, because he's a game changer. That's literally what he is. He decides games. The games that he struggles, that's when Manchester United looks a little inferior to their opponent. But when he's on the money, he's a conductor. He's a magician in the midfield. He's able to create so many opportunities as well as score goals. And he's Bruno Fernandes. He gets the penalties and he makes them. So
I was waiting for the pen merchant memes that are coming out of this one. I think he was great the all game. He played great. He deserved. I think I hit the crossbar from a long shot.
He's a beast, Daniel.
He's fantastic in the midfield. I think he's one of the best midfielders all year in the Premier League. I know that sounds biased, but
Daniel, it's not biased because at the end of the day, how many Premier League month awards has he received? Right, so. Mm-hmm. The fans know, the people that watch the Premier League day in, day out know he's talented. Obviously, I'm just I'm just joking with you. I'm just a little bit of banter, but he's a class player, and I don't like to say that about too many players, Daniel. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's just class, man. You guys are lucky to have him. I would love to have a player like that on my team for sure.
We move on to Monday, February 22nd, the last game of match day 25. We got Brighton versus Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace took this one 2-1. And they struck first with a goal in the 20th minute from Jean-Philippe Mateta. It was a great backheel through the defender's legs right around the goalie. And it was his first goal in the Premier League. A nice youngster, rising talent. Hopefully he pans out. And
he's on loan, right? I think he's a loanee for them right now from Germany. I think he's from Mainz.
I don't know what team in Germany he's from, but Mainz. He's a loanee. And then you got center back Joel Veltman scoring in the 55th to tie the game up. And then Christian Benteke looking like 2012 Christian Benteke with a volley in injury time in the 95th minute. It was lovely, from Townsend on the left wing, crossing a ball into Benteke, first time volley into the bottom left corner. Fantastic volley for me. I think this was a great outcome for Crystal Palace. It was a little bit for Brighton. You don't like this result because
it's a tough Brighton, loss.
Winning. They had Crystal Palace on the ropes the entire game. I don't think they deserve to lose, but good on Crystal Palace for coming out on top in this game.
Yeah, we usually talk garbage about Crystal Palace. They're such underachievers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, huge win for them. Crazy end to the game. Mm-hmm. You love to see it. Just no matter what team you're from, you love to see like finishes like this. They're just exciting finishes. And for mm-hmm. Benteke to do what he what he did in this match was crazy. Mm-hmm. It's vintage Benteke for me.
Yeah, no, it was great. We're going to move on to Tuesday, February 23rd. This game was a makeup game from match day 18. It was Leeds versus Southampton. Leeds took this one 3-0. You got three goals, one from Bamford in the 47th, the next from Dallas in the 78th, and then Rafinha scored in the 84th. They dominated this game. I know Southampton obviously having two goals in 4 days might be a little factor in this one, but it was great from Leeds to see.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I was looking on Instagram and I saw someone, it was a Southampton fan page, and they put out a post and it said Oriol Romeo, the Spanish midfielder that they have, he made a nice tackle, right? And he says, oh, crucial match deciding tackle. And then all the comments it was hilarious to see because they're like, yeah, you guys still lost 3-0. Doesn't matter. So I thought it was hilarious to see. And it's just, Southampton, it's hard on teams to play, all these games. And their consecutive matches in a short span of 2 to 3 days at times even. So it's hard on both teams, but Leeds absolutely dominated Southampton and just they looked the better team the whole way through. Points there to end off this episode 4, Europa League Madness. It was truly a crazy week in European football for English teams. I got real on this episode about my Benfica. I'm still sad about it, still sad about the result. That about wraps it up. Guys, follow us on Instagram at Premier Talk Podcast. We want to continue growing our social media. We always like to put out content for you guys, whether it's graphics and whatnot. So we just appreciate all your support. Thank you guys for listening. Daniel, do you have anything to wrap up, say before we wrap up the episode?
Go watch on YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you guys want to listen, we'll be there. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We love giving you guys content, as always. And we love you guys.
See you guys next week. Appreciate it.